Hello and welcome to Friday afternoon on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God.
It's going to be a great Friday, too. I'll talk a little bit about this in more detail in about an hour from now when we get into our Friday fun time at the end of the show. But I will be hosting tonight and tomorrow night. Did you just pop your neck?
No, I popped my fingers.
Okay.
I popped my fingers.
I was looking down, and I saw your head move, and I heard
No.
Pop.
The neck would not be that bad, but yeah. My fingers can get pretty gnarly.
Yeah, that sounded like a... That sounded serious.
Something breaking.
Sorry.
No, totally, I'm sorry.
Totally lost my train of thought when I heard pop. Yeah, I am hosting two nights, tonight and tomorrow night. The Retro Nerds, of course, the guys were in studio here 1 week ago today, playing the music of Sting and Peter Gabriel. It's the Retro Nerds present the music of Sting and Peter Gabriel tonight at the amazing, newly reopened, newly renovated Westport Playhouse. I have been on stage at Westport Playhouse in the past, but not since it went dark for a while, closed down, and then Lenny Mink and his team, we had Lenny on the show earlier this week as well, and his team bought the theater and have renovated it and put this huge 30-foot video screen behind the stage, and I can't wait to see what the theater looks like now, and I can't wait to hear the Retro Nerds, because they're always fantastic, playing tonight the music of Sting and Peter Gabriel. So if you're looking for something to do tonight or even tomorrow night, two nights in a row, one big show, two big nights, Westport Playhouse tonight. I'll be there. I hope to see everybody there as well. If you do come out and you see me, please, please, please say hi, because I love chatting with people. So I hope to see people out there. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that show when we do our Friday fun time, right before we hand things over to Tim and Chris at 3:30 this afternoon. So keep it here for that. Usually on Fridays, Katie and I are joined by the great Gabe Pfeiffer from the Mike Ferguson in the Morning show. But Gabe is a little under the weather today. So joining us in the next segment to take Gabe's place this week is the other member of the Mike Ferguson in the Morning show, besides Mike
the
Ferguson
other
himself.
Guy.
Stell Babes.
He's coming.
Stell, the great Stell. My Stell.
It's yours. He is your
my
Stell.
My Stell is going to be joining us. You guys know Stell because Stell was my co-host and producer the entire time Katie was on maternity leave. So he was a part of this show for 3 months, October, November, and December of last year. And you guys hear Stell now every morning with Gabe Pfeiffer and Mike Ferguson in the morning. And there's been a lot going on in this crazy world. So one member of the morning show goes down, another member of the morning show steps in.
Mm-hmm. We love Stell.
So we'll talk to Stell Babe in just a few minutes and get his thoughts on some of these crazy stories happening around our world. Also, it being Friday means we will get the weekend forecast, the all-important weekend forecast, where there's going to be a big turnaround. It's been crazy cold. It's supposed to get, I think, crazy nice.
Oh yeah, it's going to be beautiful
over
again.
The weekend. So I am very much looking forward to talking to Chief Meteorologist over at Channel 4, Steve Templeton. He'll join us at about 2:45, as he does every Friday, to bring us that weekend forecast. All right, let's dive in here. There's a Chinese spy balloon flying over the United States. What the hell is going on? If you're not up on this, this is the big story of the day for all the right reasons. A Chinese spy balloon is now over the central part of the United States, so us, and will be in United States airspace for, quote, a few days, according to
the
Pentagon.
That is so scary.
Defense Department spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder said just a little bit ago today that the Chinese surveillance balloon hovering over the United States has moved to the central part of the country, but declined to get into specifics about the location. Ryder said that the North American Aerospace Defense Command is closely monitoring the balloon's location and that it is moving eastward across the country. The balloon continues to move eastward and is currently over the center of the continental United States. Again, we currently assess that the balloon does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground at this time, Ryder said. Mm. It'll probably be over the United States for a few days, he added. The balloon is currently flying at about 60,000 feet above sea level, higher than commercial airplanes fly. The National Weather Service in Kansas City, Missouri,
so crazy,
posted photos of a large balloon visible from their office in Pleasant Hill. And the KC Metro appeared to be headed southeast. The balloon appeared to be headed southeast. They said, quote, "We have confirmed that it is not an NWS weather balloon." NWS Kansas City said. So the National Weather Service in Kansas City said, there's a balloon up there, and it's not ours. So it's clearly the Chinese balloon. That was just a little bit ago. It was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I literally think it's above us right now. I wonder if we can see it out
there. That is so crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Ryder was asked repeatedly for more details, but he refused to get into specifics about the balloon's location. He said, quote, "The public certainly has the ability to look up in the sky and see where the balloon is. So it is clearly visible."
Oh my gosh, that's low.
From the ground. Well, it's not low. It's 60,000 feet, but it's a huge balloon. And there's
clear skies,
you can see it.
But I was, man.
Yeah.
I would have thought we wouldn't be able to see it at all.
Biden administration has condemned the presence of a Chinese surveillance aircraft in United States airspace. Duh. Senior State Department officials have called the incident, quote, unacceptable. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has indefinitely postponed a planned trip to China to meet President Xi Jinping in light of the circumstances. Officials in the State Department and in the Defense Department have said the government is maintaining contact with the People's Republic of China and has, quote, clearly communicated that the balloon is violating U.S. airspace and intentional law. Or international law, excuse me, and that it is unacceptable. A spokesperson for China's foreign ministry claimed the balloon was a civilian weather aircraft that got knocked off course. But the United States,
we are just a bunch of dumb hicks, aren't we? Just a bunch of dummies.
So the Chinese government said it was just a guy
chilling,
some guy doing weather, a civilian, a Chinese civilian. First of all, Chinese civilians don't do anything without
permission
from the Chinese government, especially fly a giant weather balloon that's capable of literally circling the world.
Yeah.
And flying at 60,000 feet. A civilian in China does not have that ability.
No way.
It's not a civilian. It's not a civilian balloon. It's not a weather balloon. They said it was a civilian's that was doing weather tests and the balloon got blown off course.
If you didn't trust China before the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened, and the things that were once conspiracy theories about how a global pandemic could happen in Wuhan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out some things that a bat soup didn't create and a wet market didn't create this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And you were more suspicious and you were more afraid of China. And then 2-3 years after a pandemic, we have a Chinese spy balloon making rotations across the world. And you looked at yourself and said, we probably should be doing something about China. Then you might be right. And not only, I can't believe this, Mitt Romney made a tweet that is so profound and so amazing in this moment. And he said this, Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I didn't see this.
A big Chinese balloon in the sky and millions of Chinese TikTok balloons on your phones. Let's shut this down.
Hmm.
And I am like, so we have this Chinese balloon circling the world. And I forgot that TikTok was created in 2020, 2021. Also, an area where the Chinese are getting your data.
Mm-hmm.
This has been 3 years of us being like, what are we doing and how do we stop the madness? My question is, how do we though? Like, this is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So I have a more pressing question. Do we shoot it down?
I don't know, because right now I see that the only harm, quote unquote, that it's doing is that there's large debris. There's debris that's falling from this balloon.
That's not good.
No, it isn't. But I don't know what happens if we shot it down. That's my fear. I don't know what happens.
If we shoot it down, it could be, in a crazy world, construed as some kind of military action against Chinese property, even though it's in our airspace.
Yeah, now it's here.
Clearly a violation.
In Kansas City.
And I would imagine that they would shoot a balloon down if we sent it over their airspace. I would hope that we would be better than flying a balloon that can be seen by the naked eye. But maybe we're not. I don't know. But yeah, do we shoot it down and say, you're clearly violating the law? You're clearly violating United States sovereignty and international law. And we're taking this thing out.
Yeah,
over a safe spot where if it does fall, it won't
cause chaos,
cause any damage or hurt anybody, you know? Or do you just let it run its course?
I don't know. See, I don't like the idea of letting it run. I don't know. I don't like the idea of running its course.
What is it getting?
Footage? But of what? I don't know.
They have Google Earth over there.
That's true.
Right?
They do. No, this is the first time they're using it. This is their version.
Does it have electronics in it? Are they listening? Is it flying right over us right now? If you're listening, hello?
Yeah. What is the point, I guess, is the most pressing question. And what is it? What is it capturing?
Hold on. If it's listening, I have a question. Xi Jinping, did Joe Biden and you walk 10,000 miles throughout the Himalayas? We get to know each other.
We have to know.
On a very close basis. DM me.
Go on,
if you're
brother.
Listening, President Xi
Come
Jinping,
on, brother.
Yeah. DM me at Tony Colombo Talk on Twitter. Did you and Joe walk miles and miles along the Himalaya, throughout the Himalayas?
I have a feeling that someone like Jim Carafano or someone like Dakota Wood or someone with like a Jim Talent.
Yeah.
This
has got to be a unique
situation. But I am curious to see if they would say we need to shoot this down immediately because this is a national security threat. I mean, that I could see happening. But what happens when you do something like that? What does it, what begins?
Yeah, I've been doing talk radio for almost 20 years now. Been on the radio for over 25 years. And I cannot, and pretty engaged in the news. And I cannot remember anything that would, like, that's a comparable story to the Chinese are flying a surveillance balloon. And it's literally crossing the entire country.
And I guess, to my point, whenever I said we must just be a bunch of dumb hicks. Is the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, are they just like, we could do this?
Yeah.
We could just get away with this. No one in the United States is going to do anything about
it. They had to know that we would detect it. They knew that we would be able to, well, we can see it.
But are they like, no one's going to do anything about it?
It's going to be picked up on radar. Like, it's a bold ass move.
It is.
It is a bold, bold move.
But are,
because it's not, this was clearly not intended to be a secret.
Here's the other question that I have to ask you.
Yes, please.
So, because it is a bold ass move and because they might be looking at us like they're not going to do anything about it, is this a reflection on the administration? Is this something that they're like, under Trump, might not have done it? Under Biden, kind of feel like we have a free pass. We better get it going.
Question. I don't think that China, Russia, or many other countries around the world would have taken actions, particular actions that they've taken in the last 2 years, if Donald Trump was in office instead of Joe Biden. And I think this probably is an example of that. And I wonder how a Trump or a Republican, a DeSantis administration would
a
handle
strong
this.
Administration.
Would it have gotten shot down in California before it even made it all the way across the country? Because it was this morning when I first heard about the story, it was on the West Coast. And it's throughout the day, it's traveled across, and now it's right over us. It was in Kansas City just a little bit earlier. Like, it's just traveling across the country.
I could not imagine.
Would they have shot it down? Would China even have the guts to send it without us? So, yeah, all great questions. All right, there's plenty of other things to talk about today as well. So we are going to do that in just a moment. And we'll get Stell Babe's thoughts on the balloon as well. Stell Ponticus from The Morning Show joins us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Man, the weather's getting better. It's a Perry Woods Friday. It's a big show tonight out at Westport Playhouse that I'll be at. I hope to see everybody else out there as well. And we get to talk to my Stell.
Stell.
Stell Babe.
Oh, my goodness.
Stell. We love you, Stell.
Yes. The great Stell Ponticus returns to the Columbo and Katie show. Of course, you can hear Stell now every single day with Mike and Gabe on the Mike Ferguson in the Morning show here at News Talk STL. But Stell was with me for 3 months while Katie was on maternity leave. And I think this is the first time you're back on the show since Katie came back. So it's great to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, it is the first time, and great to be with you guys. I miss you dearly.
Back at you, buddy.
Stell, I'm so happy that you're awake right now, that you were able to do this with us. When I texted Stell, he's like, if I'm still awake, then yes, I will join you. I'm like, Stell, love you.
Yeah, that morning show schedule is legit. Mike Ferguson show starts at 5:30 in the morning. Stell, that's got to be an early day for you. I mean, that'd be a rough transition from the Columbo and Katie hours to the Mike Ferguson hours.
It was a pretty radical change. And, you know, for me, since we moved out of the city, now I've got to drive 3.5 hours to get to work every day.
We love you, Stell. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Stell, you know, I'm big. I listen to you guys every morning, of course. I know that you guys talked about this balloon this morning, but now it's just made its way unencumbered across the United States. It was spotted in Kansas City just not very long ago. So it's probably literally really close to us right now. Katie and I just went all in depth on the balloon in the last segment, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to get your thoughts and what you make of this very unprecedented and very bold move by the Chinese government to be flying a surveillance balloon over the United States.
Well, I got to say one thing right now, because I was standing outside a couple minutes ago. This is great balloon watching weather.
It is. So we got the perfect
day. Yeah, we do.
You know, I was outside gazing, and I saw some planes going by, and I thought, you know what? The balloon's up there, too, somewhere.
Yeah.
And
You can see it. You can see it from the ground. You can. They were spotting it in Kansas City. People were seeing it, and even the Defense Department said that you can see it from the ground. If, you know, it's very difficult. It's a tiny little dot, but you can see it, which is crazy.
You know, when the story broke, Mike and I thought that, we've got to do something here. How in the world did it get in our airspace in the first place?
Yeah.
That was my question, because at that time it was over Montana, and they made the comment about, you know, if we shoot it down now, we may cause some problems on the ground. And we thought, there aren't a whole lot of folks in Montana besides the provinces of Canada that are right above Montana. There aren't any really big cities there. I'm not sure which province is there, if it's Alberta or Saskatchewan or Manitoba. One of those provinces is there. If we shoot it down, okay, fine. I'd say the odds are really good it's going to land in a field somewhere. Yeah. It's not going to land on somebody's house.
Yeah.
We may lose a cow or something.
So Katie asked this question. Let me ask you this, Del. Katie asked this question in the last segment to me. I want to get your thoughts on it. Would the Chinese be doing this if Donald Trump was in office? And if they did, yes or no to that question, and then if they did do it while he was in office, would it have already been shot down by now? Would it already been removed from the sky by now, in your opinion?
Answer to the first question, no. I don't think they would have done it. And number two, if it were a renegade balloon and they gave the excuse, the typical excuse of, oh, no, it's a weather balloon. Yeah, you know what? I majored in meteorology for 2.5 years. I can tell you. Yeah. I kind of doubt it's
a civilian weather balloon, Stell. A so civilian. Crazy. They said it was a civilian weather balloon. The civilians in China do not do anything without permission from the government. Certainly, they don't fly a piece of equipment capable of circling the world without the Chinese government knowing. They said it was a civilian weather balloon, which is just very obvious that they are lying about the origin.
You're exactly right. And so the answer to your second question is, yes, we would have shot it down by now. I definitely think so. But if Trump were in office, yeah.
But Stell, whenever you look at a situation like this, because Tony and I were both saying, like, this is the first time something like this has happened in my lifetime, I think in Tony's lifetime. Stell, you might have a different story to tell, but whenever I see a situation like this, is there any possibility... any possibility at all that China was thinking there's no way this is going to cross into the United States?
No.
Is there any possibility at all that China was like,
no.
We built this for something different, not weather related, but something different, and it just so happened to also go into the U.S.
Supposed to study the whales.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as though they might say, well, gee, we didn't know the wind would be blowing that way. you know what? Guess what? The winds usually do blow across the Pacific. So I'd say the odds are really good, you guys, that you put it up there and you knew that it was going to go over the U.S. So the whole weather balloon thing just caught me off guard. And by the way, again, I thought it was a pretty good excuse, though. Katie, you mentioned stuff that had happened maybe when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about this just a little bit on the show this morning. There was a U2 plane, no relation to the band.
Mm-hmm.
It was the U2 plane that was a spy plane. I think it was in 1960, a U.S. spy plane that was shot down, if I remember correctly, over the Soviet Union. And I think the pilot's name was Gary Powers, if I remember correctly. You can look this up somewhere online. Do a search. I will not use the G word.
We will do a search, Stell.
I refuse to say the G word, but just do an internet
Stell
search.
Uses Ask Jeeves when he needs a
search. Duck, duck, go.
Or Brave or something like that, yeah. But look it up, and if I remember correctly, the plane was shot down. I was 7 years old, I think, when that happened, so I vaguely remember it. But it was a spy plane. And the Soviet Union shot it down. So that was the first thing that crossed
mind. You're completely right, Stell. U2 overflights and the capture of Francis Gary Powers in 1960.
Yep.
Okay.
So this has been going on for years. This this surveillance, trying to spy on the countries, and I just find this one to be incredibly brazen. And we'll keep you up to speed on what happens from here on out. The Defense Department did say that they would not say yes or no if the plan was to eventually take this thing out of the sky. So we'll see how this whole thing develops, and obviously we will keep you posted every step of the way.
We are your weather balloon. Yeah, we're your weather balloon station.
You got that right.
That's us.
Here's a great one today. Joe Biden continuing to rewrite history. Joe Biden claimed today that inflation was already here when he got in office. So none of it is his fault. President said,
"Oh my goodness."
Yes, the president said today that he takes no responsibility for the ongoing inflation crisis in the country, as he highlighted a stronger than expected January jobs report. He did get a gift today from the January jobs report. We'll get to that in a second. He was talking to reporters, and he was asked the question, quote, "Do you take any blame for inflation?" And the president said, "No." He said, quote, "Remember what the economy was like when I got here. Jobs were hemorrhaging. Inflation was rising. We weren't manufacturing a damn thing here because the country was closed down. Dummy. That's not part of the quote. We were in a real economic difficulty. That's why I don't take any blame. However, Experts at the Heritage Foundation analyzed consumer prices and interest rates and found in their latest report released yesterday that the average American household has lost the equivalent of $7,400 in annual income since Biden's inauguration on January 20th, 2021 because of inflation. The income loss represents an increase of $200 since their last report in September when the Heritage Foundation found that the average was $7,200 decline in annual income. And just to put it out there flatly, the consumer price index in January of 2021, when President Biden took office, was 1.4%. As of December, it was 6.5% year over year. Despite the ongoing struggle, though, as I mentioned, to control inflation, January did see a surprising comeback in the job market. Employers added over 500,000 jobs in January, which was more than double what was expected. So the president got some cover today, Stell, but he is literally just staring at the American people with those empty eyes and lying, not even about ancient history, about 2 years ago, like we can't remember, saying that inflation was already a problem when he took office, which is just a lie. Just a
I don't know what kind of dream world this guy's living in. He's making up his own historical facts.
Yeah.
You know, the purchasing power, as you mentioned, if you look at overall, the purchasing power for families has gone down now, I believe, for 20 months in a row. Mm. The longest streak in decades. I'm stumped by the fact that he can make these statements. And it's as though no one in the mainstream press does any type of fact checking. And we have to rely on folks like News Talk STL and you know, Real America's Voice,
others,
and Newsmax, and other sources to make any fact check.
Or just stick with News Talk STL. You don't really need anybody else. News Talk STL. Talking to Stell, Stell Pontikas, of course, from the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show here at News Talk STL. Typically on Fridays, Gabe Pfeiffer from the Morning Show joins us, but Gabe is under the weather today, so Stell Babe is stepping in and helping us out, which we certainly appreciate. We talked about this earlier this week. I don't know if you guys had a chance to really unpack this much in the morning yet, Stell, but earlier this week, it looked like it strong signals were sent by both Nikki Haley and Tim Scott that they will be entering the 2024 presidential race. Not official yet, but both of those candidates look like they are on the path to make that announcement and to get into the race. Of course, everybody, all eyes still on Ron DeSantis to see when or what he says when he says it. So things really starting to heat up. We talked about whether Donald Trump would start attacking Nikki Haley or Tim Scott like he has other candidates in the past. Interestingly, this week, in response to those two candidates basically, you know, it coming out that it looks like they're going to be running, he didn't go after either one of them, but Trump did fire new shots, a new round of shots at Ron DeSantis on Truth Social, saying, quote, "The real Ron is a rhino globalist."
Oh, man.
"Who closed quickly down Florida." Is he Yoda? "Who closed quickly down Florida." "Who closed quickly down Florida." Even its beaches, "loved the vaccines and wasting big money on testing. How quickly people forget." The newest attack from Trump follows a barrage of blistering comments from the former president made last weekend during the first major campaign swing of his 2024 campaign, saying, quote, "If he runs, that's fine." Talking about Ron DeSantis, of course. Quote, "If he runs, that's fine. I'm way up in the polls. He's going to have to do what he wants to do, but he may run. I do think it would be a great act of disloyalty because, you know, I got him in. He had no chance. His political life was over if it wasn't for me." He also stated that there were other Republican governors that did not close their states during COVID, and Florida was closed for a long period of time, and that DeSantis is trying to rewrite history. So interesting that this news comes out about Nikki Haley and Tim Scott possibly getting in this race still, but the former president's focus seems to still be squarely on Ron DeSantis. What do you make of this as we get closer and closer to seeing how this field is actually going to shape up?
You know, I realize we're still 2 years out, and unfortunately, it gives Trump plenty of time for unforced errors. And this feels like an unforced error to me. I don't know why he's doing this with DeSantis. I like Tim Scott a lot, personally, just from my own viewpoint. I'm a big Tim Scott fan.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Haley, not so much. Yeah. I used to really like Nikki, but I would put Nikki in that category of being a rhino and someone who's from the country club set. And she did a good job as governor, and she was UN ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a quality gal, but from my perspective, she is not MAGA. She's rhino.
That's going to be my new description of you, Katie. A real quality gal.
I'm a real quality gal. I like that. It's very classy.
Stell, do you think that we've never... I can't think of anybody that has run against Donald Trump in the primaries or anything. And, it's a very small sample size. But I can't think of anybody that was a serious contender against him that he didn't assign a name to and attack on a personal level. Do you expect him to do that to Nikki Haley and Tim Scott if they or when they officially get in this race? And could that backfire on the president? Or is this is who he is and his people will accept him no matter what?
That's a good question. And I'll be honest with you. I think in Tim Scott's case, I'm thinking maybe not, because I think he really likes Tim Scott. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't go down that road with Tim. But I could see some nicknames with Nikki Haley and some stuff coming up in the next few months or so. I think he did make a comment to Nikki, I think it was a few weeks ago, regarding getting into the race. And he made a kind comment of saying, hey, if that's what you want to do, follow your heart. If you want to get into the race, that's fine. And I thought, okay, well, that's kind of a mature way to handle it. And let's see if it stays that way. So I'll go with hopefully in both cases he doesn't do some more unforced errors, but I still don't get why he's going after DeSantis. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. Why? Because it's too early? Because he's not even in the race yet? Or because Ron DeSantis is such a popular figure amongst conservatives that it's just a bad look for the president, former president?
I agree with you as far as it's a bad look. To me, it's more unforced errors, to give it a tennis analogy. I don't get why he insists on doing this, and we're still 2 years out.
But Stel, I know that you're someone that, like you just said, Nikki Haley isn't MAGA, she's rhino. Is it appealing to you whenever you see, I'm not necessarily talking about Trump and the name calling, but is it appealing to you to see someone that's a little bit more aggressive like Trump? And if he weren't aggressive and he wasn't someone that like had his own way, his own style of communication, would that be something that you would say is too relaxed for Trump? Like too low energy Jeb? Would it be something like that if you saw him kind of take it down a notch? Or would you be like, huh, this is interesting. This is a new approach from Trump that I hadn't seen before.
I would agree that it's been a new approach here over the past few months. But now, as Tony mentioned, you're seeing little comments show up again. Mm-hmm. And I'm very hesitant on where he's going with this kind of stuff. Because I think for those of us who really support Trump, we really like DeSantis, too. So... for him to be doing this with Ron is something that really makes me scratch my head. Why not have the guy on board with you? Why do you keep fighting against him? Why do you keep making these snide remarks?
Or at least wait till he's in the race. I mean, it's so clear that he's living, Ron DeSantis is living rent-free in the head of the former president, because he's not even officially in the race yet, and he just feels like he has to go out of his way to attack him. One more story here while we're talking to Stell before we get the weekend forecast from Steve Templeton. person. Here's one of those stories. And Stel, we did a lot of these when you were with me when Katie was out. Stories that when I read it, I was like, man, this seems like it should be something that more people would want to know about, but they just don't get covered because of all the other sensational stories of the week. On Wednesday afternoon, 205 Democrats, nearly everyone in the House of Representatives, voted against a Republican bill requiring federal agencies to end their COVID-era telework policies and force federal workers to return to their offices. The federal government is still under COVID emergency policy and actions, working from home, doing telemeetings and Zoom meetings, while the rest of that is ridiculous. I don't think many people realize that. I think most people think that the world has moved on, and they haven't moved on Capitol Hill. 205 Democrats voted against the Stopping Home Office Works Unproductive Problems Act. What a name. Stopping Home Office Works Unproductive Problems Act, or the Show Up Act.
Wow.
And just three Democrats voted for it. The bill, which passed the House 221 to 206, would require federal agencies to return to the telework policies that were in place before the pandemic hit, and also require them to conduct an assessment on how nearly 3 years of telework affected the government's productivity. Republicans insinuate, and I think very accurately, that this has hurt government productivity, because we all saw how it hurt every piece of productivity, not being in the office and kids not being in schools. The Democrats say the exact opposite. They say the government is more efficient under the COVID emergency policies, which is absolutely ridiculous. This bill is not going to pass because it's not going to pass the Senate. So they're going to stay there. But the bigger story to me, Stel, is the fact that we forget sometimes, because we're living our own lives, the government is still acting like we are in the middle of the COVID pandemic and don't understand what's going on and don't have the data and don't have the information that it's very safe to go back to work. It's ridiculous, is it not?
It is. It's very bizarre. You know, we have some friends who live in Alexandria, Virginia. One of the guys works in D.C., and he's commented that if you go into the city, there are still so many businesses that have closed. And I'm sure some of them would love to reopen, but they're still closed in D.C. Here we are 3 years out. How are these businesses going to actually reopen? I'm guessing that most of them have probably closed. The small restaurants, the small places that have been working to take care of all of the people that are employed by the government in D.C. I don't understand where the Democrats are coming up with this illogical stance that they have. The thing has been over, and on top of it, we were lied to from almost the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on board at the beginning, and after about a month, my wife and I realized there's something wrong here. Something's going on. Yeah. And ever since then, we've had issues with the way the government's handled all of this. But to think that they're still doing this, I agree with you. It's not.
You know why, Stel? Because you followed the science, like they told us to. We followed the science. We watched the data come in. We learned about what this virus was all about and how to protect ourselves and our families from it. And we made our own decisions and we moved on with our life. We did exactly what you're supposed to do. We followed the science. But the Democrats in the Capitol refuse to do so, and they're literally living their lives every day like it's still, you know, early 2020, and we don't understand this this outbreak of this virus. That is the great Stel Pontica. Stel, thank you so much for putting a little overtime with us this Friday afternoon. Great to talk with you, my friend. Of course, you can hear Stel every weekday morning as part of the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show here at News Talk STL. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. It was a blast. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to get that all-important weekend forecast from Steve Templeton in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. It's a Friday afternoon, and that means just before 3 o'clock, and that means it is time to talk to our friend Steve Templeton, chief meteorologist over at Channel 4, and get the all-important weekend forecast. Steve, as usual, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. How's it going?
My pleasure. We had a good weekend. It's going pretty good. I mean, it's cold out there now, but we're going to do the little weather whiplash, but it's going to benefit us, and we'll get a temperature turnaround this weekend.
Yeah, so it's been brutal. It's been brutal, but for once, I guess the St. Louis roller coaster of weather is actually going to benefit us. So, yeah, please tell us what...
And time got for the weekend, too. That's true. And you're right. You know, it has been brutal. There's been some cold air, that's for sure. But by the way, we just came off the 9th warmest January on record.
Wow.
So I guess there's not too much to complain about, right?
Yeah.
But we've had some cold days here and there, and today's obviously chilly, not even getting to freezing. And then temperatures tonight are not going to plummet, but they'll kind of hang in the 20s and then start to rise a little bit towards daybreak. But bottom line is it's a near normal chilly night tonight. And then tomorrow we really see the temperature skyrocket after sunrise, up to 51 for the high, mostly sunny in the morning, but turning mostly cloudy. Some thin high clouds build as the day goes on. We stay dry. It'll be a little breezy, though. So 51, breezy with increasing clouds Saturday. Sunday, sunshine, 38 in the morning, but 57 in the afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to be great. Sunday's a good golf day. Get out and enjoy it.
No,
it's going to be a nice
weekend.
That is so great.
Any idea how long it may last? Is this a little snapshot that we better take advantage of while it's here, or could it stick around for a little bit?
Probably sticks around for a few more days, but it's not as dry and not as pretty. So Monday is nice, 57, mostly cloudy. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday all have rain chances. Highs are still in the 50s, but there's more clouds, a chance of rain. So I do think the mild weather lasts, but we're going to get into some wet weather at some point next week. I have 40% chance Tuesday, Wednesday, 60% chance on Thursday.
You know, you mentioned that we had a very warm January, and that actually doesn't surprise me because we've been through a cold snap here over the last few days, and it's been pretty cold over the last few days, especially at night in the teens and things like that. But certainly not like, you know, the sub-freezing weather that could go on for days or even weeks in the middle of the winter. So that actually doesn't surprise me. As you put the binoculars on, I know you never want to get too far ahead of yourself, and I completely understand that, but do you kind of see February maybe playing out the same way as January, or could this be the proverbial other shoe dropping after a fairly mild January?
I don't think it'll be as mild. Like, I don't think we'll be top 10 warmest February. I don't think it'll be that warm. And I think we will, like January, have these big ups and downs where we'll have a few days that are cold, and then we'll warm up above normal, and we'll have a nice stretch, and then all of a sudden we'll get hit with the cold. So I do think it's going to be kind of up and down, and just need to be prepared for some changes for the month of February. It probably, at the end of the month, evens out to being above normal, but I do think it's going to come like January did, with these kind of ups and downs, the ebb and flow of temperatures, going up and down.
Well, 2 days in the 50s, and especially that Sunday in the upper 50s, I'll take that for a weekend forecast in early February every single time.
Did you guys know that this time last year it was snowing? So this is whenever we had to stay at Union Station this time last year.
The big snowstorm.
Yes.
That
was so horrible.
Wow, that's
unbelievable. That was our one big snow last year. You're right. Yeah, good memory.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, Katie and I had to get rooms here at Union Station in the hotel because we were afraid if nobody else could get to the radio station that at least somebody would be here to get something on the air. Yeah,
big
because
snowstorm.
It was and it was legit. It was legit. That
I actually stayed downtown too. I stayed at the Drury.
There you go, Steve.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And then I was up on the morning show the next day. Yeah. That was a big snow. And it just shows you how things can change a year later. Now we're talking about a weekend with 57 and sunshine. But I was going to say it's days like that, especially the Sunday coming up here, that help you get through the winter, you know?
Steve, we got to wrap this up, but I got to ask you one last question. That's not your weather balloon up there, is it?
It is not. Across Missouri, right?
It is. Yes. They were spotting it. The National Weather Service apparently spotted it in Kansas City earlier. So
I just got another spot. It's near Columbia, and this in our area.
No kidding.
The winds are going to take it by St. Louis.
Wow. Well, hey, thank you. That's breaking news. Really appreciate that update. You get it all. Really appreciate that. And great week. Weekend forecast, so definitely looking forward to that. Steve, thanks as always for your time, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
Tony and Katie, my pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. How about that? Columbia.
That's terrifying.
And heading right towards St. Louis.
We'll have to see if we can see it when it gets here.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. All right, we got some more stories to do. And, of course, we'll have a little Friday fun time to wrap up the week when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.